in the fabled land of Northern California. Nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And, wow, this is weird. It still is weird. I'm still getting used to the idea of doing these every 2 weeks. And yes, I keep bringing it up because it's important for people to know when there's some kind of time dilation of things happening and we haven't talked about them.
Yeah, this is true. Like, a lot of events happen in a 2 week span that you can't necessarily just like skim by, but you know, it's understandable unless we have the ability to predict the future.
Well, I kind of do.
You do? But,
To an extent. I can see enough trends and enough ways of where things are going. And I have had a few, there's been a few things that I've predicted throughout my life that was going to, you know, hit big at some point or another. Like square donuts. I knew that there would be somebody that would make square donuts. I'm not even kidding you. I am not kidding you.
I know.
I mean, I have the picture still in my yearbook of my, one of my buddies, drawing a square donut. This is my yearbook from high school, drawing a square donut. It's completely square with a square donut hole. And it's like the round donuts with the frosting and stuff on top, the icing on top, mm-hmm. but it's square. And I just knew that there would be a niche market for square donuts. And, some dude in New York, of course, cause it's New York. Some dude in New York has made a living out of making square donuts. He's been on Food Network and all this. I don't know when he originally started, but I came up with the idea back in 1997.
Oh wow!
But of course, I didn't do anything with it. Same thing. I came up with the idea of filming actors doing action sequences. With my idea was to film it with a camera rig that had 3 to 4 separate cameras filming at the same time and each one filming at a different speed. This is back before digital, back when you actually had to, if you wanted to have slow motion or have anything move fast or whatever, you had to film at a different camera speed. Mm-hmm. because you were using actual real film. Yes, people listening, there was a time where films were made with actual film and out without digital stuff and with limited digital effects. Even some of the digital effects, quote unquote computer graphics effects, when they were filming the real elements of that, they were still using actual film to film the real elements of that. There's look into
first one comes to mind is T2, man. Terminator 2 is that's a fucking groundbreaking movie in the special effects department, especially.
Yes, with the liquid Terminator. Mm-hmm. But so much of that still had to be filmed with real film. You know, mm-hmm. there's so many in camera practical effects that are necessary. You know, with film, and there's beautiful things you can do with film. If you're ever interested to see how inventive the process can be with just using in camera techniques and, you know, multiple exposures of the same film, try to find the making of Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula. There is not a single digital effect in that film.
No, it's all practical.
Everything is practical. Everything is done in camera with multiple exposures and backlighting and projecting and it's forced perspective stuff.
Oh,
it is an amazing. It is an amazing achievement of using the medium of the actual film medium. In the very best way it could possibly be used. It is brilliant and amazing the way that they made that movie.
I saw it more recently. I want to say in about the past 5 years or so, and it just is mind-blowing. Half of the time you're looking at you're thinking, how the fuck did they pull that off? And like, when did it come out? What, 92, I think?
Something in that category, yeah.
Somewhere around there?
91, 92, 93 in that area.
It's so good. God, it's so good.
Well, and it's using tricks that had existed from the beginning of filmmaking, but it's like it is doing it completely perfectly. All of the in-camera tricks, all of the pre-computer special effects that were used, this movie is the kind of the culmination of all of those effects happening properly, exactly right in one film. It's almost a masterclass on old school filmmaking. But again, back in that time period, that's the way you made films is you actually had to use physical film. You didn't have the digital technologies that we have today. So you couldn't computer graphic somebody faster or slower easily. It looked like garbage. So the way that you had people moving at different speeds, the way you had slow motion in a movie, you know, all the big slow motion scenes you would see, is you would actually film it at a different camera speed.
Yep.
So
Now you got all that shit that you could just run, you know, you could just turn your iPhone on to 60 or 120 frames a second. Now they've been able to do that for a couple of years, but that used to not be there. Actually, there was technically, until digital cameras had the capability of ridiculously high frame rates, you couldn't actually get film speed to get up fast enough to see a snake strike. I remembered you could only see the frame where the snake is coiled back, and then the frame where the snake is already hit and is coiling around. Like the reason why I thought about that, my wife is super into animals, and she we have a few snakes, and snakes strike so fast that you actually can't see them. Like there was a time around this time period, like in the mid 90s or so, that you actually could not even get a camera to move fast enough to see a snake actually legitimately strike its prey.
Yeah, because when you're dealing with an actual physical medium of the film having to be exposed to because it has to be exposed to what's happening for it to expose onto the film for us to see, you know, for it to appear on the film for us to see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know all of the chemical reaction involved with it, but you can only move a physical medium so fast. There's only a certain speed you can move it at. In fact, it used to be that when certain boxers would their matches would get boxing matches would get filmed back in like the 50s and 60s, mm-hmm. back when the technology was even older. Mm-hmm. There were actually punches that would be missed because of how fast people were. Mm-hmm. Wesley Snipes used to have to be told, back when, again, regular film was in the camera, he used to have to be told to slow down his fighting. When he would do martial arts in films,
wow,
he had to be told to slow down his fighting. Bruce Lee also had to slow down his fighting because at the speed that they would normally be able to move, the camera would actually not pick up the movement because of the frame rate. Interestingly enough, our eyes work at a way higher frame rate than cameras do, way higher, which is why we can see more. But we still don't have the capability of what the current digital technologies have. But as I was explaining, my idea back in high school, when I was a teenager, was to have people be able to do a fight sequence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And film with four different cameras operating at four different speeds from every angle humanly possible within a room, make it like a blue screen or a green screen room, and to have the cameras that way. So you film from every angle possible, four cameras at the same time on each camera rig, from every angle you could possibly do, so that you could take a uninterrupted fight sequence, just have a 5 minute long uninterrupted fight sequence,
mm-hmm.
and then be able to without having to break it down to individual pieces in the fight sequence and film with each camera for each little hit, you could take that full fluid fight sequence and cut between all the different cameras, which pieces you wanted and at which speeds you wanted, because you have four different ones filming from four different speeds. And it was very much it would be a very bulky situation.
I know exactly where you're going with this, and this is I the, think you've this mentioned this before.
Yes, I mentioned it before. This is the idea I had of having cameras rigged up to do this thing, and it would have been super expensive. You add in all the backgrounds and all the stuff later. Maybe you have just basic, floor and basic backgrounds, but add in all the real elements later with the blue and green screens, and working kind of this void space with all these cameras filming all of these things so that you could intercut and do, you know, go slow motion and then right back to normal speed and then faster, and then just have that this full intercut. And then I sat down to watch a movie that had I went to the theater and watched a movie that had the episode one trailer, and the movie burnt about three quarters the film, because again, real film projecting, it caught on fire and burnt three quarters of the way through the movie. That movie was Wing Commander.
Oh.
With Freddie Prinze Jr. and Matthew Lillard and Saffron Burroughs and Checky Cairo. I mean, it was great movie, by the way. Great movie. Not really. It was actually a piece of garbage.
I was going to say, but like, I heard it was that, one, that tanked hard.
It was one that I really enjoyed.
The only Wing Commander you need to see is the OG shit with fucking Mark Hamill in it. Like, the actual computer game shit.
No. I'm a firm believer that to understand a part of the late 90s, early 2000s, the film world of the late 90s, the culture of the late 90s, early 2000s, I'm a firm believer that everybody should watch every single pairing of Freddie Prinze Jr. and Matthew Lillard that they possibly can. I think it's a necessity to understand what that relationship between the two of them as actors kind of epitomizes what was happening during the late 90s and early 2000s, as in they were in movies that just didn't make fucking sense, and they were the weirdest actors to have a career. What?
That means the Scooby-Doo movies, Scream.
No, not Scream.
Freddie Prinze wasn't in, Junior wasn't in Scream 1?
Freddie Prinze is not in the Scream movies.
Oh,
no.
Shit. Okay.
But you're talking the Scooby-Doo movies. You're talking She's All That. You're talking, the Wing Commander. I think there's one or two others. It was kind of a thing. Matthew Lillard is, like I say,
is it Lillard or Lillard?
I don't know.
It's driving me nuts. Maybe not to Lillard look it up.
I don't know. But it's he almost encapsulates, more so than even Freddie Prinze does, he encapsulates the weirdness of the late 90s and early 2000s. So maybe it's more for him that you need to see it than
it's,
for
it's
Freddie
Lillard.
Prinze. It's Lillard. Okay.
And apparently, Oh, shit. There is actually a movie that is out that is called He's All That, that Lillard is in.
Oh, yes.
But Freddie Prinze Jr. is not in it, and I am...
Rachel Lee Cook is in it, though.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that this... She's Mrs. Sawyer.
she's the mom in this, but, there's... I intend to see this because I do like, She's All That was, basically our era's version of, Pygmalion. If you don't know what Pygmalion is, or yep. My Fair Lady, then go learn some things.
well, it's like seeing 10 Things I Hate About You and not knowing that it's teenage Shakespeare.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, that's...
So this is just a gender-swapped version of the film.
It's pretty much, yes.
Interesting.
Whether it's a sequel or a gender swap remake, I am unsure, which is why I want to see it. Again, I know Matthew's in it, and I know Rachel Lee Cook is in it. Those are the only ones that I know that are for sure reprising any roles.
Okay.
Freddie Prinze is too busy with his current job, which is as story development for WWE.
Wait, what?
You didn't know that?
No.
Besides his amazing voiceover work, and I do say amazing because he's a freaking Jedi, so right. I mean, good for him. But aside from that, yeah, he's been involved with WWE doing story content. He's a story writer and story producer for WWE.
I'll be damned.
It's been for a long time.
Wow.
It's been about 10, 12 years that he's been doing that.
Huh.
And his wife never needs to work again. She made more than enough money when she was younger. She's still making money from residuals from that show.
Goddamn.
So, yeah, that's the she got the Buffy money. She ain't got no worries.
Yeah. Yeah.
but anyway, Wing Commander was what I was saying. I only went to watch the episode one trailer. We've been over this before. The film burned. We got our money back. Found out that 10 minutes from the time that we were at a theater that was 15 minutes away was going to be showing another movie that had the episode one trailer. And so we drove faster than we should have, got there in time to see the episode one trailer again, which we got to see it twice in a day, which again, for young people who don't understand this, that you can just look up a trailer on YouTube when the new Spider-Man No Way Home trailer first leaked and then was removed and then finally actually came out, you guys got to watch it just like I did, like 17 times on YouTube over and over again.
Hopefully freak out
in 2 moments like you should have when you saw the bomb from and hey, if you haven't seen the trailer yet, screw you, I'm talking about it.
Yeah, I've seen it.
When you see the Green Goblin bomb and you hear the laugh, which the laugh is
definitely
just
Defoe. That is 100%. That's William Defoe.
It sounds like some Defoe right there.
Fuck that. That's him.
You see the bomb and you're like, oh snap.
I looked up the casting too. You know who else is confirmed?
Jamie Foxx.
Yes. Electro. Yeah. That's confirming everything else that people have been fucking rumored about. Like,
I don't care. Jamie Foxx was awful as Electro, but then again, that set of
Spider-Man movies. Well, that confirms the Andrew Garfield verse is there too, right?
It does. It does confirm that the Andrew Garfield universe is there. And those movies piss me off because they had somebody that was amazing in the first movie playing Kurt Connors, Rhys Ifans, who's a Welsh actor. Gosh, there's so many different things he's in. He got his first big break in America with the movie Notting Hill. Hugh Grant, Julia Roberts.
Wasn't he in Little Nicky?
He was in Little Nicky.
Yes.
He's one of Nicky's brothers.
Yes.
He was in one of my favorite football movies, The Replacements. Gene Hackman, Keanu Reeves. Very, very early. Oh God, what's his name? The guy who directed The Mandalorian. Gosh, I can't even think of his name right now. He's like one of my favorite people in Hollywood right now.
I know you're talking about
Jon Favreau.
Oh, he directed Mandalorian? I thought that he was producer.
Sorry, he was the producer of Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah.
There were different directors for each episode. I mean, Robert Rodriguez directed an episode, one of the best episodes.
Really?
But oh yeah, it's the episode where he directed the episode that gave all of us kids that were pissed off that Boba Fett got screwed over in Return of the Jedi by being dropped in the Sarlacc and being just a punk while he was on screen. I mean, he didn't do anything at all. It's like, this is supposed to be a badass dude. And he gets his jetpack gets smashed and he falls into the freaking Sarlacc. Great. What kind of a badass is Boba Fett? Robert Rodriguez directs the episode of Mandalorian where Boba Fett shows, I'm Boba Fett and I'm a badass.
Nice.
And especially because they got the actor who played Jango Fett,
yep,
who also was the voice for all the clones in episodes 2 and 3. They got him to play Boba Fett. Oh my God, it was amazing. This is why you should watch The Mandalorian, but you're not as cool as me. Because you drink Jack Daniels. Anyway.
What the fuck? Those are completely unrelated. And fuck you.
Anyway, We're straying so far from the point here.
We are. Please continue, because I know what this was about, and it's taking a very roundabout way to get there.
I have to get back to the point. Let's get back to the point, which was, yes. So we were talking about let me finish with the Spider-Man trailer. That's where we're at. So 2 points where you should be freaking out: the Green Goblin bomb. Gotta be freaking out about the Green Goblin bomb.
We weren't talking about the Spider-Man trailer.
We were, actually. We did get to the Spider-Man trailer because I was talking about that. But actually, I'll go further. We were talking about the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man universe and how they wasted Rhys Ifans as Kurt Connors, the Lizard Man.
Right.
And how horrible that was. Plus, crappy Green Goblin. Plus, you had a weird cameo. You were in that movie at the end of the second one, right? In a big suit with a rhino.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Little personal mic joke.
Fuck you asshole.
Little personal mic joke. If you know, you know. If you don't, we'll explain later. Not really. But anyway, the other point in the Spider-Man trailer, the new Spider-Man movie trailer that you should have freaked out, is when, of course, you see Otto Octavius or Dr. Octopus and Alfred Molina playing him again.
Yep.
Which is amazing. Because when Spider-Man 2 come out, Spider-Man 2 was, at the time it came out, it was possibly, it was definitely the best Marvel superhero movie ever. May have been one, the best superhero movie at that moment in time. Spider-Man 2 was almost perfect. Almost note perfect. Really, really good superhero movie. Others have come out later that have far eclipsed it, but still, really good at the time. But anyway, you can watch that 17 times like I did. You can watch it right now. After you hear me talking about Spider-Man No Way Home, you can go and watch that trailer and see what's going on. And you can decide whether that's actually Doctor Strange that Peter is talking to, or is it somebody pretending to be Doctor Strange? Are we finally going to get Mephisto? Maybe this is a variant. Maybe this is a variant of Doctor Strange that has made it to this universe. And if you don't know what a variant is, get you some Disney Plus and watch you some Loki. Anyway,
you know what would be the ultimate fucking you know what would actually be the ultimate just I know it's not the same exact person or the same exact name, but I swear to God, if they got somebody like Bono to play Mephisto, it would be one of the most inside jokes that could ever exist in cinema and music.
No, I get you. That would be funny.
That'd be hilarious.
And again, if anybody doesn't know about that, do some research. Maybe we'll explain it later. Probably not. Azeniel should know. And if they don't, shame on you. U2 was a huge band and a great concert to go to.
My God.
One of the best experiences I've ever had.
One of the most hated bands in fucking pop music.
I know they are, but damn, they'd put on a good concert. They really, really do. They put on a hell of a show.
You gotta be hated when you give out some shit for free and people are like, nah. Like,
I get you on that too. If you don't know what we're talking about there, you're probably a discerning consumer that doesn't buy iPhones because they're garbage. So that's that. There's another sponsor we'll never get. Moving on. Back in the day, we couldn't see trailers online as often as we wanted, so you still had to go to the theater. We've been over this before. So we were super excited to see the Episode 1 trailer again on the same day. Yes, I brought it back full circle.
I was going to say, man.
Brought it back full circle. And so we went to go see this other movie again, only wanting to see the Episode 1 trailer again and think to ourselves, okay, the previews for this movie kind of made it look like it was a little bit like Dark City, which Dark City was a good movie. I mean, Alex Proyas is a hell of a director. He did The Crow. That's a good movie. So this kind of looks a little bit like Dark City. That is, of course, because they actually reused some Dark City sets. But then we sat down to watch this movie and got completely blown away by the Wachowskis giving us the first Matrix and bullet time. And as bullet time is happening in the movie, my buddy looks over at me, Rob, our internet guy. He looks over at me. He's like, is that what you were wanting to do? And I was like, yeah, fuckers. That's cool. That's cool, man. I
could see him doing that. Just sitting next to you. I know he was still rocking the ponytail at that time too. And
no, he wasn't. Yeah, no. Actually, no. Yeah, you're right. He would have had the time too. And it's literally just a hand extended out pointing at it like, is that what you wanted to do? And it's like, yeah, I still got square donuts, bro. Nobody else will think of that.
But, well, yeah. Sir, this is what happens when you don't act on those ideas.
Well, no, I was 19 and the Wachowskis were already in their like late 20s, early 30s. And they had thought about it years before I did because they had made, it took them like 3 years to make the freaking movie. So they thought of it first, but at least I know that I was in the right mind frame. I was looking towards the future of what things would happen in film. I was that kind of prognosticator. And then you have movies like that I think took what I was thinking of to even the next level. When they started doing the full motion capture stuff that you see in like Polar Express or the one version of Beowulf that happened, where they did the full performance capture of people and then made them as fully realized digital characters. And what's so nice about that is somebody like Ray Winstone, who is a fine, wonderful, amazing actor, who's only like 5'8". can play 6'2" Beowulf, and his acting and his voice is what's used and not his diminutive stature.
I know we've definitely talked about this too.
And the idea that somebody like me, who's only 5'6", could play a superhero that's 6 foot tall or more with just my acting and my voice, if that was the situation, or I could play a villain that's again, tall, skinny instead of fat, whatever. And you could be anything, and it's based just on your acting, just like voice acting is. But the extra element is you get to do the full physicality of it. And then you have the furthering of that with basically everything that Andy Serkis has done, who that man at some point or another deserves multiple honorary Oscars, and then he deserves all the acting Oscars he should have gotten for all the performance capture shit that he's done.
Yeah.
That has revolutionized that medium to the point where you get performances and you don't have to worry about what an actor looks like. You can make the characters look exactly as they should, especially when you're adapting novels or other story yeah. material. Instead of trying to find an actor that looks like the character, but maybe doesn't have the capability to actually act, you can find the actors that you need, use their acting, and make the character look as you need the character to look.
Oh, the acting and still get
the true acting capability out of it. And if people try to argue that no, you don't get the real acting, watch the Gollum scene. This is the early years of this happening. Watch the Gollum scene where Gollum is arguing with Smeagol. Basically, he's arguing himself.
Oh yeah, that's brilliant.
I mean, holy shit. You want to say that you don't get the performance out of that performance capture?
Yeah.
Bull fucking shit.
Yeah, you get the performance absolutely. I would say, I would go even so far as to say that something like that, you're looking at, look at how video game storytelling has just helped make that a more acceptable medium, depending upon what you're looking at. Like, most of this stuff now, like if you're looking at the newer, and I know I'm going to throw out some other franchises that you very well may not be familiar with, but like, but dude, the storytelling in some Call of Duty games, I know that I'm not really a fan of them. However, dude, Call of Duty,
no.
Fallout, Last of Us is amazing. The new Spider-Man games are incredible, and they're all motion captured, acted out. Like some of the best sources of motion captured kind of stuff, or even stuff that's just a little bit slightly past that, and still was hitting the CGI stuff when it came down to that kind of acting that was necessary. They've been doing it since around the time that Lord of the Rings came out. The Metal Gear series in general, like I'm a huge fan of it because of that alone. The amount of depth of storytelling that is required for to be so immersive. This is a series that spans 40 years worth almost of video gaming. Like, and I mean that legitimately. They're still waiting on, like, now that franchise has gotten so big, Oscar Isaac is supposed to play Solid Snake in the new in the film that's supposed to be coming out. And this is based on a video game character that was a combination of what, Christopher Walken and Kurt Russell? In, like, they based Solid Snake on Snake Plissken from Escape from New York. And they based his face on Christopher Walken. And this is something that from here, it's the amount of storytelling can only be captured by the method that you're talking about, the method that you conceived of so far back. And it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy shit.
And I'm a firm believer that you have somebody who gets an Oscar or the Oscar for portraying Winston Churchill. You get Gary Oldman, who gets a shit ton of awards for portraying Winston Churchill. And hey, Gary Oldman, fantastic actor. In fact, that Bram Stoker's Dracula that we were talking about, the Francis Ford Coppola version, he plays Dracula and it's amazing. It is probably the best performance of his entire career, and that's saying something, because that dude is fire, especially when he plays a villain of some kind or another. I mean, look,
he's incredible, especially as that dude, Sid Vicious. Yeah, he was incredible as Sid Vicious.
look back at Leon the Professional.
Yep.
He just he's chewing scenery everywhere.
Yeah.
The Fifth Element, he is in a cast that has a bunch of amazing performances, and I'm talking a bunch. Probably the weakest performance in that entire movie is the former model that attempted to be an actress and still is attempting in many ways to be an actress and still not succeeding. The only reason she still is working is because she's really nice to look at.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Mia Jovovich, she's nice to look at.
Really?
Nice enough.
You don't think
she's a good actress?
I think she did great in Fifth Element.
She was okay in Fifth Element. She's the weakest link, and that's including a link that has Bruce Willis, who just kind of grunts through everything he does. funny enough, though, they make fun of him grunting through everything that he does with the whole Ruby Rod sequence. But there's not much to Bruce Willis's acting style. Ask Kevin Smith, he'll tell you.
Well, if you hire Bruce Willis, you're going to get Bruce Willis. That's what you're going
to
get.
That's basically, yeah, you hire him to play this specific part, and he plays that part exactly as
like
he
if you hire Stallone, kinda... you're going to get fucking Stallone. You're not going to get like Gary Oldman. You're not going to get it.
No. No, you hire Gary Oldman, you're not sure what you're going to get, but you're going to get something beautiful.
Well, right, exactly. You don't know what to expect, and that's the point. Then, that's why you hire Gary Oldman.
But then you hire him to do Churchill, and you put him under so much makeup that he's almost completely recognizable. And they give him the award, and they're like, oh, the acting through the makeup, you can still see everything through the makeup. Guess what? You can still see the acting through the motion capture. If you're going to give somebody the award that they sold the character when they were in so much makeup that they were unrecognizable, you put anybody in enough makeup, they can sell the character. Same thing with it being a motion capture character that's based on all of the facial expressions and all the actual acting that is happening by the person doing the motion capture, and it's just been attached to the data points on their face. They did that acting. They made that character. They should be recognized for it. But whatever, argument that I will never be able to win with people. But anyway. Yeah, that's so. I do have some prognostication towards the future. I can't believe we wasted a half an hour on me talking about my ability to somewhat see the future. That's crazy. Okay,
if there's a lesson to be taken from this, if I may interject, I would say that if you have any ideas you feel like have never been seen before or never been done before, even if you may discover that they have been, start talking about them. Like,
and do something about them.
Yeah, do something about it.
And don't just sit on your ass like a dumbass like me.
Exactly,
because then you
don't
might
be a dumbass
be
like
to...
James.
Yeah, don't be. Don't be. It's not. it's not smart. Because then you could be getting all of the spam money. They could having you do the endorsements.
Yeah,
they could be. Maybe you. I mean, I don't know if you get the Subway money, but apparently that doesn't take very long to get the Subway money. You're only in the commercial for like 15 seconds and whatnot. But still, interesting to think about it though. Spam doesn't do commercials, do they? No, actually they do.
Spam is universal, but I'm not sure if they're still doing them.
I don't know if they have to, because spam is so universally loved that they don't need to have commercials for it.
They've transcended paid advertisement.
And if they are going to ever do advertisement, I just spam, if you're listening, if you're going to be doing any major advertisement, if you're listening, I'm just telling you right now, hire Michael Bay to do your commercials. Hopefully you understand. If not, maybe I'll explain it later. Probably not. Anyway, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we're actually going to hopefully talk about something with some substance. mainly the fact that I finally found the third chip. Yes, I found the third chip.
Okay,
and my wife has decided to make an unusual change in our eating habits in some way, shape, or form. I'll explain. It's weird.
I don't know what's happening either.
It's weird. It seems like it shouldn't be a thing, but I don't know. It's making me have a thing. Anyway, we'll be back in just a moment for that.
All right.
Hey, friends. This is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles, reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
And we're back, everybody.
Okay. Cool.
Making sure we have warm coffee.
Yes.
Or hot coffee instead of cold coffee.
Yes.
Because, you know, whatever.
A good cup of warm coffee is a good thing.
I really love moments like that because we're like, why are you talking about coffee? And you're all about
the cryptic moments where it's only the jokes between two people, even if it's said in a room full of people that don't understand what the fuck is going on. You get a lot of entertainment from that.
Oh yeah, it's hilarious. It's hilarious. And then the setups when I'm setting up a joke that other people know that other people don't know. I love those moments.
Right.
The mom jokes are the best ones. When I get the setup going, you've been there as part of me setting up the mom joke with somebody else.
Yes.
And you've seen it and you've had that glance at me and you see a little devilish look in my eye of, I am going to fuck this person over with this. When I hit the punchline on this joke, their face is going to completely drop. And it's almost an involuntary reaction.
Yeah.
They look at me, somebody who's in the know of the joke looks at me and recognizes that I'm setting this joke up, and they know it, and they involuntarily just kind of slowly shake their head back and forth like, oh no, 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 no. Why are you doing this?
Yep.
Because some people find the joke funny. Other people are just horrified by it. And usually the person that I'm springing it on is at first, at that moment, they're horrified by the joke at that exact, you know, specific moment. And later they may laugh about it, but I'm waiting for that horrified moment. Oh, now this is even more hilarious. I am actually being brought right at this moment a hot cup of coffee. That's just great. That's just great.
You fucking hypocrite.
Thank you. Thank you, boss, for making a good point here on the podcast in Mike's favor. I had told her earlier to bring it to if she, I hadn't told her, I'd asked her if she would make me a random cup of coffee and bring it to me at some point. It just so happened that it coincided with this. That's
great.
That's funny. I love these moments. Anyway, I promised before the break, which seems like a long time ago for us, but not for you, because it's like, what, a couple of seconds in the break. And for us,
it's like 20 seconds. Or
30 minutes. I went and did a poo. not really. But anyway, point here. I said before the break that I had found the third chip. Well, I'm going to clarify what I mean by that and clarify the fact that it wasn't actually me who found the third chip. It was somebody else who found the third chip. Huh. But I mean, it was my wife. So. That's enough of a connection. And also in the process,
do we need to preface this a little bit more for people that may not have heard the other podcast we're talking about?
I'm gonna get there.
Okay.
But also in the finding of the third chip, my wife found something else that has now kind of changed our kitchen a little bit. And it's, I don't know, it's such a small thing, but it feels almost like a complete revolution of thought for me. And I'm super excited about it.
Okay.
I'm also a little wary, but I'm super excited. So we'll start with the chip. For those of you who may not have listened to the other episodes, we had done, was it last week or the week before? I don't remember which one it came out in. Because again, we do record these two episodes at a time. One comes out the day after we record, and then the other one comes out 8 days basically after we record. So I'm not sure which week it fell on, but. One of the episodes we talked about Lay's new chips that they had released. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And the interesting thing about them was that they weren't brand new flavors. They were existing Lay's flavors that had just been put on a different type of chip than before. There was the Cool Ranch flavor that, instead of being on the Dorito tortilla chip, was now on a traditional Lay's potato chip. And then Funyun flavor, which was put onto the wavy potato chip.
That sounds really interesting.
It very much is. And at the time of the last podcast, I had only found those two chips and had only tried those two chips. And of the two, the Funyun chip was better than the Cool Ranch one. They were still both very, very good, but the wavy chip with the Funyun had just the right combination of crunch and then Funyun flavor. You get everything you want out of the Funyun without that the puffed corn thing that's really, really sometimes overly crunchy. Mm-hmm. It has just the right amount of crunch, perfect for putting on a sandwich and getting the Funyun flavor on a sandwich without destroying the integrity of the sandwich like putting Funyuns would. But having, you know, I'm sorry, if you've never had a bologna or a turkey sandwich or any meat that you have for the sandwich and you've never put chips on your sandwich, shame on you. Put some damn chips on your sandwich. And definitely go get you some of the Funyun wavy Lays and put those on your sandwich. Previous to that, my favorite one to put on my favorite chip to put on a sandwich was pickle flavored chips.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get the flavor of pickle on your sandwich and you get the crunch of the chips. It's a beautiful texture and flavor combination, and the sandwich helps because sometimes the pickle chips can be a little bit vinegary. It helps to kind of balance that out a little bit better. But get the wavy Lay's Funyuns flavored, amazing. So they had done three flavors again: the Cool Ranch on regular Lay's, the Funyun on wavy Lay's, and the final flavor was to take the Cheeto flavor, the bright orange dust of Cheeto flavor, and put that on a regular Lay's potato chip. So
okay, so Cheeto Lay's
basically. They kind of, you know, you can say that they kind of phoned it in a little bit, but at the same time, by doing so, they actually created something brilliant, at least with the first two. First two were good, but Funyun one was a little better, but the first two were good. Mm-hmm. Had not found the Cheetos one. Well, the wife was out shopping. It had been a frustrating week, which I may detail in the next podcast, the week of absolute and utter frustration. Mm-hmm. And normally we have a kind of Friday and Saturday night kind of date night shopping night thing we do. We have somebody that kind of comes in and helps watch over the house and the kids and make sure everything's okay, and her and I together get to go out on Friday and Saturday nights. It used to be we'd go out during the week while the kids were at school and we could go do things together, but circumstances have changed where that's no longer going to happen. James got a job. So Friday and Saturday night's kind of our special night that we go and do things. And last week we weren't able to do that due to circumstances we'll talk about in the next podcast. So she was out by herself doing the shopping instead. And we were a little stressed, so she decided to go to one specific store we don't normally go to. The only time we ever go to that store is if we're going to get, you know, pastries and whatnot, things that we shouldn't necessarily be eating all the time. But some people, when they're stressed, they start smoking, right?
Yes.
Some people start drinking.
Yes.
Some people fall into like drugs and other stuff.
Yes.
Some people, when they're stressed, they scream and yell at people and are abusive. When I'm stressed, I eat pastries, cookies, okay, donuts, basically anything that's baked goods. And okay, I eat a large amount of them. Oh. Like I will decimate a dozen donuts without thinking twice.
I can understand that. Yeah.
Cookies. You put a cake in front of me when I've been stressed, I will eat into oblivion, and I will feel like garbage afterwards.
Right.
The biggest one, the worst one, even worse than cookies, even worse than cake, even worse than donuts, ice cream. I will devour so much ice cream. Especially if it's a flavor that I obviously love, something that's Ben and Jerry's. Like the other day I had a Ben and Jerry's tiramisu ice cream.
Ooh, that sounds fantastic.
Tiramisu is another one of those that's like, if you put a 12 by or a 13 by 9, that's a pretty standard pan size, right? Mm-hmm. 13 by 9 pan, you can put a 13 by 9 pan of tiramisu in front of me. If you do not take it away, it will be gone in one sitting. I don't care how much pain it causes me. I don't care what I will make that thing disappear. Tiramisu more than anything else. I freaking Fair. love tiramisu so much. The Ben and Jerry's tiramisu ice cream I had the other day was almost perfect. Not quite, but almost. It's just that's what I do. So we were stressing out that last week. So she went to a store we don't normally go to, and to get us some of those treats, because frankly she has learned that as her coping mechanism as well. My wife has, back before we were, you know, married 20 some odd years ago. She had other coping mechanisms that weren't very healthy to be involved in. Over the 20 years, she's learned that at least yes, it's more sugar than we should probably have. Yes, it's more calories than we should probably have. But the thing is, you end up with an upset stomach the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, maybe a couple of days after that, you're careful how much sugar you have for intake. It's a lot less of a problem than drinking, smoking, drugs, all the other things that people use. It's still something you don't want to overuse as a coping mechanism, but it's a lot better than other ones can be. I've known people that they get stressed and they go straight to drinking, and then they're drunk and they're hungover for 3 days because they don't drink regularly. They just do it when they're stressed. Yep. And it's like, sorry. I plus the fact that like just a single bottle of the alcohol costs more than like two cakes. I could have two cakes for the price of your alcohol, and I'm going to feel a lot better tomorrow than you will. So I'm going with the cake. That's
fair.
That's kind of my thing is like, this makes me feel way better than that does. And I'm totally cognizant the entire time. I don't have to worry about doing anything embarrassing except for like getting some icing on my face or whatever. And that's not really that embarrassing.
To wit. I would, to anybody who's looking at this and thinking that, you know, obviously these coping mechanisms are very unhealthy, and we're not denying that. But yeah. I will say that if there is somebody who is passing judgment right now on someone who likes to eat sweets when they're stressed, versus like drinking, which a lot of people do, it tends to be a lot more common to drink when you're stressed than to eat. I've tended to find. Do you realize the amount of damage alcohol actually does to the body? Like it's so much. I would go so far as to if we are to compare the two, I would go so far as to say it is far worse than a fucking cake. Like. For obviously, sure. It's not good either way. You're talking cholesterol. You're talking all that kind of shit. Sugar up the ass. Like it is a lot of very bad things for your body. I'm not saying that neither one of them is good. But if you're drinking yourself into oblivion versus eating a fucking cupcake or two, there's a substantial difference in health deprivation there.
Yeah. And, yeah. and I mean, here's the thing. I can eat a cake and drive afterwards. Also way more socially acceptable to have like two, maybe three pieces of cake at a kid's birthday party. Yes. They're still looking at you like, seriously, fatty, you're having more cake, but that's a lot more socially acceptable than having like three beers at a kid's birthday.
This is true. This is true. Uncle Frank's on his third shot. Like,
I'm just saying, yeah.
He started picking on the party clown and now there's a fist fight. But you're not going to get that with cake.
Yes, but Uncle James is sitting over there on his third piece of cake just going, Frank, you're an idiot, man. Eat the cake instead. Then you have to pick a fight with the damn clown.
Right.
That's the thing is it's something I still need to work on, but it's better than what it could be. But anyway, she was at this specific store buying it because it does have a very nice bakery area that does a lot of nice, you know, baked goods. So she's at this store buying it, and she just so happens to stumble across the third bag of chips. She sees somebody else had grabbed it and set it back on some random shelf because she doesn't find it in a display. She doesn't find it with the other chips. It was just sitting on a random shelf waiting to be grabbed.
Nice.
There it was, the Cheetos Lays. And she even sent me.
I love the fact that this whole segue to that. It was. I will say, the chips. Yeah, it was all just about finding the chips. I love that. I just love that. That was good.
And she even.
This unplanned, by the way. I'm hearing this for the first time, just like all of you guys are. So
I actually get a text from her. I get a text from her while she's in the car. And it's a picture. She took a picture of the bag sitting on the passenger seat of the Cheetah Lays, and I'm like, oh my god, that's awesome. And so I'm waiting for. I don't even know what what snacks she got, or what desserts, what pastries, what sweets she got, because that was the intention. She was going there for the sweets, and I was waiting to hear back which sweets she got. I'd be like, this is going to help me feel better. This is going to get me past the stress. I had a momentary blip of happiness when she sent me that picture, like, woo, here's the Cheetos Lays. And I forgot for a second, wait, did she get sweets? I forgot for a second about the sweets, because I was so excited to finally taste the third chip. Because again, every time the new chip flavors come out, I'm like, I want to taste these. I want to try them. I need to have them at some point. So she gets home with them. I end up not trying them that night because she did bring home some good sweets, and I ate all those and was, you know, just in kind of a sweets, you know, high fog enjoyment, loving it. The next day, though, planned out for lunch, poured me out a portion of these Cheetos Lays,
mm-hmm.
And they're not quite as orangey as the Cheetos. They're kind of somewhere in between. They're the potato chip Lay's backing, so they're not like, they're also not orange like barbecue chips. They have the dust on them, but it's literally the dust, kind of, you can see the kind of whitish yellow chip underneath very clearly. So it's not the bright orange you get out of Cheetos. So I was like, I'm not sure. They smelled like Cheetos, but they also had that little salty tinge that you get from just your standard Lay's. And here, that smell of the salt still, that's where the real key comes in when you have these, because you get the full Cheeto flavor. It is Cheeto flavor, but you also get the salt from the standard Lay's potato chips. So it's this salty, cheesy mix, and the crunch of the potato chips still, just like with the Funyun one, way more satisfying than the crunch you get from the crunchy Cheetos.
Yeah.
And for those weird ass people that eat the Cheeto Puffs, I don't understand you people.
I'm back and forth on the Cheeto Puffs. It's weird. I'm back and forth. I you know what? The Cheetos Puffs feel a lot more like the generic Cheetos that you get, like the second rate Cheetos that come in the plastic jar. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they're just like, here, we'll do what other people are doing to try to impersonate us badly. And yeah, sell it as our own. That's just weird to me.
The thing is, though, if they take the same puffed material and put it in ball form instead of the puff form, and they have the cheese balls that they sell, all the different companies that sell, for some reason, I can totally deal with the cheese balls, but the cheese puffs, they're made of the same stuff. I know logically they're made of the same stuff, but the cheese balls, great. The cheese puffs, eh.
Dude,
but anyway.
There's a thing about shape and texture, man. Like,
shape helps add to it,
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, you get the best combination, and that's the thing that Lay's did. We talked about it last time, but I'm reiterating it here. They took and did this new combination of things that gives you the best of both worlds with the combination. So as of now, as of having tried all, my definitive ranking, and I had my wife try all three of them. I had the sister-in-law who lives in the house try all three of them, mm-hmm. and we all three agreed on the same ranking. The worst of the three, still great, but the worst of the three,
mm-hmm.
the Cool Ranch Lays.
Okay.
Number two, the Funyun Wavy Lays. And number one is that Cheeto Lay.
Really?
I'm telling you right now, it is a perfect blend.
That and, is like the one you were least excited about, wasn't it?
It was. That is the funniest part. It is the one I was least excited about. The one I was like, I'm okay not trying. Actually, the order of it is reverse and excited about it. The only I am beginning to wonder, though, if
do you think it was that you may have put the one that you ranked bottom on the highest pedestal, and that's why you were the most, like,
that's a possibility.
Least enthusiastic about it, you expected it to be a lot better than it actually was.
That's a possibility, and I will admit that there may be some bias in that.
Okay.
But no, I'm wondering if just maybe in the last year or two hired the former PR and research and development people that worked at Jack in the Box, because I'm telling you right now, both Jack in the Box and these new flavors, these flavor swap things that they did with this Frito-Lay, this sounds like they're all, both of them are angling for the stoner market hardcore, because this is exactly what stoners have, like, long-term conversation. They're smoking up like, dude, what if Lay's tasted like Cool Ranch Doritos, but they're still Lay's? That's exactly what these sound like, is a conversation. Dude, like that.
I bet you they just brought stoners into the conference room. Shit, weed's legal now, pretty much.
That's
like, depending on the way, if they're out in California, weed's legal to have. They probably just find a bunch of stoners and just like, hey guys, what do you think is a good idea?
That's very good. It's very.
They could be out in Colorado. They could be. I think it's legal in Oregon too. Could be Nevada. I think it's Nevada. Dude, there's a lot of states where weed's legal.
There are. And I mean, I can say Texas is, I believe, where the headquarters of Freedom. But
is weed legal? Weed ain't legal in Texas.
I mean, no, but I mean.
But I'll tell you what, they'll call up somebody in California and be like, hey, you know, or there's at least an adjacent state to Texas where weed is legal, where they can find some.
at least one. I believe that Jack in the Box has been going off that model about 12 years now. I mean,
oh yeah, they haven't given a fuck for a long time.
the munchie snacks that they have, where it's a combination. It's like, here's a box with a bunch of the fried stuff we have in it, all combined together, smothered in cheese.
Dude, and okay,
it's like normal people are looking at that. Normal people are looking at it going, oh my god, why would we eat that? And all the stoners are like, yep.
Yeah,
I dreamed that.
No, that's what that is. Like, I was over at the drive-thru Jack in the Box like the other day, and the main thing that they have at like head level when you're in the car, when you're looking at it, is this big fucking picture of a cardboard, of, you know, the little cardboardy type, yeah, looks like Chinese food boxes.
Yeah.
Full of for some reason red food dyed mini tacos smothered.
Oh, they're not food dyed. They're covered in spicy stuff.
So they're spicy mini tacos.
Yeah.
Smothered in like some green onion and cheese sauce, and yeah, just this. You look at that, and it is, especially if you have ever smoked weed in your life, you are of two minds. If you've smoked weed and you never like would ever do it again. Or even if some people that just straight up haven't, like, they look at that and you're of two minds. You're just like, this looks like the worst fucking thing. I still want to try it. And it's whether or not you convince yourself enough to actually order it.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I've only smoked weed a couple times in my life. I didn't like it because felt like the room was spinning out of control. It took me forever.
That sounds like you overdid it. You overdid it. I ultimately understand.
I'm a control freak.
Yeah,
I'm a control freak. Okay. So I don't like to get drunk because I'm a control freak. I don't enjoy being drunk.
It gives me
anxiety to be drunk.
Understood.
I also don't want it to feel like it takes me 45 minutes to eat a single piece of fried chicken. Some people love that time dilation thing. I do not. It was the best fried chicken experience I ever had. It just seemed like it took forever. I know it didn't, but it seemed like it did.
5 minutes lasted for 3 hours.
Very much so. That time I will admit I did overdo it. I had more cookies than I should have had, because they were cookies, and cookies are a bane of mine anyway. So you had these two things mixing together, bad. Don't give me cookies. Don't give me cookies where I'm only supposed to have one, because if I have five, it's going to be bad. And I had five, and we'll just leave it at that. But point being here, I'm one of those people that I see those mishmashes and I'm like, it's either like, yeah, or it usually has to be because there's something in there that I don't like, but I get it. I get the idea, because yeah, I don't have to be a stoner to understand the beauty of stoner foods. There's some combinations that's just like, yep, that's good. No, it can't be. Oh yeah, it is. Trust me, it's good.
Yep.
There's just some things that you do. But anyway, these chips, still amazing. Everybody try them. I was in my shopping trips this weekend. I found that Big Lots, if you're near any Big Lots stores,
uh-huh,
those have at least two of the chips in the big bags. Big Lots has them. So that would be a place to possibly go, which leads to the final point I wanted to deal with today. This kind of weird change that my wife she found something, and it inspired a little bit of change in our of all things. This is now the 41-year-old you know, former house bitch, as I like to call myself, or house husband, if you want to call it that. And, you know, I got kids, settled down. You're getting to that point, even though you don't have the kids, you got multiple grills.
Yep.
When you have multiple grills, you're almost in, even if you don't have kids, you have the dog children. So that works enough. You get the multiple grills. You're kind of getting in dad mode, even if it's just dad over your dogs, you're still getting in that dad mode thing.
Yep.
And I have one. Well, technically the gas one is not mine. The gas one's the wife's. The gas grill does belong to her. I bought it specifically for her, but I have like three or four charcoal grills myself. So, you know, it's one of those things like that's you're in dad territory. When you wear socks with your sandals, or in my case, socks with your Crocs,
God,
look, it rhymes. Just deal with it. I don't have any socks on with them today, cause I the socks I had ended up having holes in them. So I'm just wearing the Crocs by themselves. Feels a little weird, but, Anyway, something this small can really mess with your kind of reality, because you get used to things. You get used to eating on the same dishes. You're used to using the same silverware. Something as small as people will make fun of freaking out over new silverware or new dishes or things like that, but it actually can make a difference in how you view your food, how you view your experience. And if you're one of those people that doesn't travel much and has kind of a boring life, that's small changes like that can be a big difference, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So here's what the wife found. The wife found this, it's not really a newer thing, but it is kind of a newer thing. Their dinner plate bowls.
Interesting.
And so what they are is, instead of being like a normal bowl, they're round and about the size of a small dinner plate. Like normally in like plate packages, you get the bigger plate and then you get the smaller one, which is kind of a solid plate. And then you get maybe the really small ones that go in like the teacup or the coffee cup. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the middle sized one, the smaller plate. That's again, kind of a salad plate, but also could be a dinner plate, could be a whatever plate. It's the plate that you give kids, or the plate that you get when you're trying to eat less food than you put on like the big, huge dinner plate.
Right.
So it's about that size, but the sides are completely up like a bowl, and it's about an inch deep, which means it's way too wide of a base and not deep enough for something like cereal, right? Or soup. Or anything like that, because you want a bowl that's a little smaller in diameter and deeper for things like that. You know, you don't want just like a eighth of an inch layer of soup around a bowl that's, you know, a good eight and a half inches around. That's just way too damn big. But it functions as a plate, but with a rounded side, so you don't have to worry about things slipping off your plate. Plus it gives you something kind of to grip onto if you're one of those people that sits in front of the TV to eat, doesn't eat
at a
table or whatnot. But this would be perfect for something like have you ever had the dish where, or you know, dishes where you have some rice and then you have some like meat or protein of some type, and you would normally, you'd possibly put it on a plate and maybe have them separate, but you think it'd be really good if you mix them together with a little bit of sauce.
Yep.
But you don't want to do that on a plate because there's not much of a lip on a plate. So you get a bowl, but then it's hard to stir it up just right to get an even distribution. This is like perfect for that.
It's right. Halfway in between both, the best of both worlds kind of a deal.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. For sure. Very, very much like, which is why it works in here with the, at the end of the Lay's chips conversation, you get the best of both worlds with this.
Yes.
Perfect for something like pasta with some, you know, good sauces, because you put that on a plate. And again, you have to worry about when you mix it, sauce running over the edge or something. You have to put it to the center of the plate, but then you don't have any room to put your bread on the plate without it being, you know, soaking up the sauce while you're trying to eat the pasta. And then it gets more gooey when you want to use it to soak up the sauce after you've eaten the pasta, you know what I'm saying? Or you know what I mean? This gives you the bowl concept where the pasta can all be to one side, and you have maybe just a little bit of room to put your bread, but it's big enough that it's not necessarily having to, not like you, if you did a smaller bowl and you have to put the bread right on top of the pasta. No, there's enough space to be able to do it. And that 1 inch or so lip just gives you enough to hold everything in. So it's the best of both worlds. It's still a plate, but it has all of the benefits of the bowl not letting anything escape, you know, get off the edge.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't have to, you have something you can scrape the food up against and pull it out, and as opposed to having to use a finger or a piece of bread or some other thing to get the food off the edge of the plate, or hold the edge of the plate up to your mouth and you know, look like an animal shoveling the things into your mouth. No, like corn would be, you know, when you have canned corn.
Oh yeah,
you have
corn is tough to work with sometimes.
Yeah, you have an edge to be able to move up against that edge and get the corn onto your fork or your spoon.
Yeah.
So this is, and it's like, it's such a small thing, but she found two of these, and apparently this is a pretty regular size. The 8.5 inch or so is a pretty regular size, and about 1 inch deep over a couple of different manufacturers of plates and dishes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And she found the two of these, and it was, she brought them home, showed them, like, what are these for? She explained the whole situation, the usage. They would replace dinner plates, and she wanted to try them because she was interested. I'm like, well, I want to try this thing too. The hell, you ain't gonna get the monopoly on this damn thing. I'm gonna try this out. And first thing I ended up eating in them was leftover Chinese food from Panda okay. Express of all things.
It was just
when I get Panda, I get the meats, the different meats, and then I get the super greens because I don't, you know, cutting the calories.
Super greens rice, are bitching.
Oh, they're
I very, have I am a full super greens convert since you mentioned the super greens here. Like,
yeah.
I have fully converted to super greens when we go to Panda. Like, it's good stuff.
Well, it saves on calories, so you can enjoy the meat instead of having to fill on rice and chow mein. Not saying the rice and chow mein isn't good, but you fill up so much on that, you don't get to enjoy the meat. And so I get my greens, I get my meat, I feel happy. But I had some leftover of the various chicken things. By the way, have you tried the new almond chicken there? They have a crusty almond or crunchy almond chicken that they have.
No, I don't believe. No, I have not tried the almond chicken.
A little soy heavy on the flavor. If you like it, I don't like too much soy flavor. I'm not one that like gets some rice and just dump soy sauce all over it. No, thank you. Light soy flavor is a little better for me. I want it to be subtle. This is a little heavy for me, probably perfectly fine for everybody else, but the almonds are really good. Nice crunchy pieces of chicken. But anyway, I had that leftover, just, you know, might put those in this weird, you know, plate bowl thingy. You know, it's like, it's this hybrid. It's the man bear pig of dishes. And I put it in the, you know, put it in the microwave, heat up my stuff, which typically I don't, by the way. I do like to eat the leftover Panda cold. It's actually really good cold, but I was trying to be a whole part of, let's see how this thing works. This dinner thing works.
It was a test run. It was a test drive.
And I, you know, go to sit down in my chair, have it, and having that 1 inch lip, it's just enough to grip properly. And what's nice is it fits perfectly with, like, I'm modeling with my hand now. If you have the bottom of the bowl resting on your four fingers and your thumb on top of it,
yep,
it's like a perfect, wonderful fit. Whereas some bowls, you stretch a little bit, like my cereal bowl, there's a little bit of stretch. This thing just fits nice and comfortably in there. And it's,
you can hold it flat easy too. Like, it's just a little grip lip. You just kind of claw your thumb over the top of it.
Exactly. And
yeah.
And what's nice is it's wide enough at its base that you can, like, if you have pieces of chicken that you're wanting to cut with, you know, then they're soft enough. You can cut them with the side of your fork. You know, they're mm-hmm. good enough meat. You can cut them with the side of your fork. There's enough of a footprint on the bottom of this thing to actually do that. Whereas many bowls, you get like just this little tiny, you know, two inch footprint to try to do anything. So you got to try to move everything to one side to try to cut the thing, and you end up scraping against. There's more than enough room to work with on this.
No, with bowls, you got to pre-cut your food before you actually
Most part, yeah, it's impossible. This, the flat surface on the bottom, more than enough to do. And I'm just like, this thing is a revelation. It's such a small thing. It's such a small thing. It's new dishes. And so
I wonder if there was, for the sake of something tells me that I'm curious, like, if we can look up the history on this, because this seems like something, like, do you think somebody would have? So let's go into the.
I think this is something that this was something that probably existed many different times before throughout cultures and in other cultures.
Yeah,
but like, Americans are so dogmatic about the stupidest things. There's some things that we have no rhyme or reason to whatsoever.
Yeah.
And then there are other things that we like hold on to as tightly as possible and refuse to give up on, which are sometimes the dumbest things humanly possible. And our three square meals a day, you know, breakfast being the most important meal. You got to have breakfast. You got to have lunch. You got to have dinner. And the idea that you all have to sit around the table, because that's the only way that a family can eat dinner together and still be a family, even though you can sit anywhere together and eat and be a family. You can eat at any different time and be a family. And you can just be a family without having to eat and be a family.
Yep.
But whatever, we have these just such close-minded ideas about it. And the idea that you have to have, if you're having dinner, you have to have a protein and you have to have a carbohydrate and you have to have a vegetable, because that's a complete dinner. If you don't have all of those things, you don't have a complete dinner. It's like, you're wrong, but okay. And again, you have to have them on plates, and you have to do it. And plates have to look this way, and you have to have this silverware, and this. And that. It's so much craziness that's put into just the simple act of eating meals. And so, when one little thing can shift just the slightest bit, it can completely change the way you look at food. And I am looking at eating as a completely different thing. And it's the weirdest thing to say that it's all based on finding this dinner plate bowl.
I honestly did not expect you to mention a dinner plate, right? Like,
yeah,
I was thinking like, you know, she found something that was like a technically speaking,
you're
it is still
appliance or something
diet. Yeah, like that, right? It's still diet related, right? Or something like that. I thought that she had found another method to eating food or some other thing to put in your food or something. That's but how you sold it. I like that. I like that. But
it's literally a dinner plate bowl. That's what they're even freaking called, a dinner plate bowl. You can Google the words dinner plate bowl and it will come up and you'll see these 8.5 inch, roughly 1 inch deep, almost dinner plate bowls.
That's what they're called.
Like, yes.
Well, I'm going to have to get my hands on some of these, because this sounds like a good deal.
And I've seen other plates that are round that have like a eighth inch of a lip. At the edge of them. Mm-hmm. I've seen those. This is completely different. This is legitimately, you can call this a bowl, but you can also call it a dinner plate, and it should be called, as it is called, a dinner plate bowl, because that's what the freaking thing is.
You seem and very so passionate.
I'm passionate enough that we specifically, when we went to our shop last night, we specifically hit certain stores that we knew had these or could have these, to buy additional ones, because she had originally bought two. We have a total of 8 of them now, and they're not the same. Actually, we purposely bought in pairs different ones. So we have two of them that have a white exterior and a red interior. Mm-hmm. Two of them that are just completely white. Two of them that are gray, what kind of a bluish gray, and two of them that are white and say chef at work on the side. So we have a total of 8 of them in pairs that are just slightly different, which I kind of like the idea. I'm one of those people that I would actually love to have an eclectic mix of dishes, so that each person sitting at the table would have like a completely different plate. That would actually be really awesome for me, instead of everybody having this matching set. I love the idea that everything would be different and eclectic, just because like, I hate like matching coffee mugs. Everybody should have their own mug that has something weird and different on it, because that's awesome. Same with plates. Everybody should have their own plate that has something weird and different on it. And these dinner bowl plates, dinner plate bowls, whatever you want to call them, they're going to give us a little bit of that. And it's just so, I feel excited about eating dinner on one of these things. Weird thing to say that I'm excited to eat dinner, not because of the food that's being made, but because of the dish I get to eat it off of. And it's just like, you wouldn't think something like that would revolutionize the way you eat food. And for me, it does. Really weird.
Huh. I didn't know that actually makes a lot of sense. It just makes, there's obvious.
Presentation is important when it comes to food. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It looks like garbage. And part of the presentation can be the vessel in which it's presented to you in. So this is a new presentation opportunity. And I'm just like, and yes, I am passionate about it, because we literally planned our entire night of shopping around finding enough of these. I wanted to get at least two more sets so that we'd have six of these dinner plate bowls total. Mm-hmm. At the most, I was going to get four more sets so that we'd have a total of 10. We ended up with a total of 8, which is right in the middle, so I am happy with that total. But that's when you dedicate an entire night to trying to find more of this same type of dishes. It's I'm passionate about it. It's really weird to be passionate about something like that. Again, maybe it's finally set in, being the whole boring dad husband life. But if that's the case, I'm okay. If that's enough to get me excited, I don't have to go do crazy stuff, jump off of bridges, bungee jumping or skydive or that kind of stuff to get my thrills. If all I have to do to get my thrills is to find a couple of new dinner plate bowls, then hey, that's again, that's like using sweets to deal with your stress instead of alcohol to deal with your stress, or smoking or drugs to deal with your stress. I'll take the win on those things. Just give me my piece of cake in my new dinner plate bowl. Right?
Fair. Right? That's good.
Because then if your cake, because sometimes the cake falls over as you're eating it, a piece of cake falls over as you're eating pieces of it, I don't have to worry about it falling off the edge because I got a lip to hold it in.
Right.
It'll help me scrape the frosting up better. Harder to lick, though, but that's okay. That's okay. Well, you don't lick the frosting off the plate after you've had a cake?
No.
Right. Anyway. Mike, where can people be listening to us talk about licking the frosting off of the plate after you're done eating cake?
Well, you could be listening to us at thezenionchronicles.com or zenchron.com, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. You can catch us at Zenchron on all of our other social medias as well. If you just look that up, you'll find us on, I think we're on Instagram or on Facebook. We're on Twitter. You check us there.
Point of order. We're still not on Instagram because... Yeah.
Damn it.
I'm
we
too
need to
old.
Get a hold of our fucking promo guy and get an Instagram already.
I'll talk to him today. I'll be walking.
Sounds
I'll be
good.
I'll be walking past a mirror at some point or another.
Okay.
Anyway,
speaking of all of that other stuff, we have one more platform you guys should be checking us out on. If you haven't checked us out on most of the major podcast platforms, which, by the way, we're back up again. We actually had like a wee month ish span.
We had a little bit of a
hiatus from podcast platforms. We had a bit of a problem. Did we mention that last time or no?
We mentioned it. We talked about it. There were some server issues where the podcast is the website and stuff is all serviced through. Mm-hmm. Our internet guy was trying to work through the various server issues, and all I can say at this point is, I hope I'm not giving too much away, but Rob, the internet guy, does live in Texas, and shit's just messed up in Texas right now. So that's not surprising that there would be some kind of a server issue as well, because Texas is Texas, and I don't think it was a power situation, but it was definitely a Texas situation.
So we
are back up. And so what's that final place that people should be checking us out on?
Well, you should be checking us out on YouTube. Actually, we've got a YouTube channel, so go to, if you're not listening to us on YouTube right now, go listen to us on YouTube. Find our YouTube channel, search for the Zenial Chronicles on youtube.com. And we're trying to get to our first 100 subs in the YouTube channel, so please do that. Make sure that you're subscribed to the channel. That is actually done via the little subscribe button under any of the videos, or you can go straight to our channel with it. While you are there, by the way, there is also another little thing that needs to be done next to the subscribe button. There's something else to hit. James, I think you know what that is. What is that?
What does it do? The thing that you're supposed to hit.
What does it do? It is meant so that you... Because
I'm trying to think of what it is, but I need to know what it does.
Ah, okay. So the ultimate thing that it does is it notifies those who are subscribed to your channel when we put out a podcast or a video on the channel. See, because
I know what it is.
If you're subscribed, it doesn't necessarily mean that you actually know when we do something.
Like, yeah, I know what it is.
Oh, what's that?
I know what it is.
What?
Click the bell.
That's right. Click the bell so you get notified so that the next video we put out or podcast that we put out, so the YouTube app tells you. And that way, you know to come listen to us again.
Yes. And yes. You know, when finally, and it will happen, when we finally are able to have full video for the podcast, because yes. That will happen at some point.
Yes.
Because you need to have the video, because then that's when we'll be bringing in the spam money.
Oh, yeah, so, that's right. When they can see there, our faces with spam yes. on the camera.
Yes. Because I do.
Go,
I have spam.
That could go multiple ways. That sounds like a mistake.
can go multiple ways. Anyway, so while you're checking us out, while you're subscribing, while you're liking, while you're clicking the bell for notification, please make sure to check out Mike's other channels on YouTube. He is a little more industrious than me. This is the only thing that I'm involved in on YouTube. Probably a good thing for YouTube. they wouldn't want me to completely take it over. The other two things that Mike does, one he does with his wife. This is called Chronosode Games. This is a channel where him and his wife play video games in chronological order of the story of the game, not of release of the game. If that right. makes sense. Hopefully it does. If it doesn't, just go check out the page.
It will.
Like them, subscribe, click the bell for notification on that. And if you can't get enough of Mike, go and check out his other page, Ruling Note Music.
Yes.
This is Mike talking about everything music related, stories about musicians, gear stuff, recording stuff, basically the other part of things that he likes to do, which is music. He plays video games. He does music. He writes slutty TMNT fan fiction stuff. This is what Mike does in his office.
I don't think anyway, that's true. That one doesn't.
How would you know if it's true? I know. Anyway, thank you all for listening, and we'll be back again next week.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.